Well, let's turn over to John 20. John 20, we're just going to read, we'll just read this chapter. Everybody there? It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved," John's talking about himself, "and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchiefs that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where I have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary,' or 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'Teacher.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed.' And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. I want you to notice a few things. Look back at verse 27. Do you believe this happened just like it says it here? This isn't a story. This is an account. This actually happened just the way it says here. This is somebody that wrote down, John wrote these things down exactly for the reason he said in that last verse. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. This is an account, a historical account for us, so we may know what happened. These are witnesses to the fact that Jesus came, that He died, that He rose again. Verse 27 says, then He said to Thomas, reach your finger here. So Thomas comes and he wasn't there when Jesus appeared to the rest of them. They said, we saw Jesus. And he said, I don't believe it. Unless I can see Him, unless I can touch His wounds, I'm not going to believe it. And so Jesus said to Thomas, He said to Thomas, reach out your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it in my side where he was pierced. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Don't be unbelieving, but believing. Don't be unbelieving or doubting, but believing. Say this, I'm a believer. Not a doubter. I'm a believer, not a doubter. Hallelujah. Isn't that what we're called? Believers? You ever seen a believer that doesn't believe? It's possible, but not really. People say, well, I just have no faith. Well, then you have more faith than you realize. If you have no faith, you're not a Christian. We all have faith. Faith isn't as complicated as sometimes we've made it. Problem is we go by our head. That's the problem. You don't feel like you have faith, so you don't think you have faith. It doesn't have anything to do with how you think. It doesn't matter if you understand everything. Believing is taking what God said and acting on it and say, I believe that, period. It doesn't matter if you feel like you believe it. That's what messes us up so many times. Well, I don't feel like I believe it. I don't feel like I have faith. So? I don't feel like I'm going to go to work today. So? Here I go in the car to work. Right? I just don't feel like I'm married today. What does that got to do with it? Whether I feel like it or not, I'm married. I don't feel like I have kids. They're still there. You know? There's parts of our life we don't let that part, our feelings or what we think, dominate us, but then we'll get pushed off when it comes to the thing of God, the things of God. Well, I don't quite understand, so I don't know. That's doubting. Thomas said, well, whatever. I want to see him. Then I'll believe. And what did Jesus say to that? He said, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Now he's, hey, okay, I've seen it. I believe you're the Son of God. See, he said, my Lord and my God, I believe that you are who you said you are. Verse 29, and Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believed. You have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Have you seen Jesus? But you believe. You believe he's the Son of God. You believe he rose from the dead. See, we believe. Why do we believe? Because exactly why John wrote this down. So he said, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. So we weren't there when this happened. But we have this account. And we all have a choice to take this at face value and say, this is the Word of God. This is what it says it is. This is Scripture. God breathed. This is truth. This happened. Jesus did come. It was and is the Son of God. And He gave His life for me and for you. And that believing on His name, I will be saved. I believe that. Everybody has a choice. Didn't say anything about your head. Well, I just don't understand. Thomas didn't understand. He didn't say anything about that. He said, believe. Didn't say understand. You figure it out how it works and then believe. You figure it out. You understand everything, and once you have it all figured out, then I'll believe. People say, prove it to me. The Bible doesn't tell us to prove it to everybody. It says, go preach the gospel to every nation. It doesn't say, go and debate everybody. Prove that there's a God. Prove that the Word of God is the Word of God. Prove it, and then I'll believe. That's not believing. You can't prove it. I can't prove this. I can give you witnesses. You know, many people saw Jesus. Many people saw Jesus. It's documented in here that many people saw Him. But you can discount that testimony and say, I don't believe it. Okay. People can do that, and they do it all the time. Well, I don't believe it because of such and such. I don't know. I just don't understand how this is the case and this is the case. So I until I figure that out, I'm not going to believe. It's the same thing as Thomas did. That's called doubting. And people do it all the time. But we're supposed to be believers. Hallelujah. We're believers. That means we're already in a different category. We're going to read a few more scriptures. We'll get into a few things here. But 1 Peter 1, let's turn over there. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Notice that. May be found to praise, verse 7, end of verse 7, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing. Yet believing. You don't see Him, yet believing. See, seeing is not believing. Seeing, if you see something, it's already in front of you. You don't need to believe. Thomas saw Jesus. Now, he could still believe that that wasn't, you know, somehow Jesus got... He knew that Jesus was crucified. I suppose somehow he could still not believe it was Jesus. But the fact is, it's right in front of him. And he says, Lord, okay, I believe that you're back because... You're back. You're sitting there. And I believe it, okay? Good. But when you haven't seen, like you and I, the Bible says just because you haven't seen, you're still to believe. You believe when you don't see. We're going to get to a scripture here in a moment. Believing is the evidence of things not seen. Believing is. Believing is the evidence of things not seen. It says, though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice. Do we rejoice because we believe Jesus is the Son of God, that we've believed on him, and we're going to spend eternity with him? And that regardless of what we're going through right now, he's here, he's with us, he's real. You don't detect that with your mind. You detect that with your heart. Your mind may say, what? Sure doesn't look like anything. But your heart can believe. And that's where we have to focus on believing. It's a heart thing. It's not a head thing. It's a heart thing. Faith is of the heart, the Bible says. With the heart, man believes. It doesn't have anything to do with our head. It doesn't have anything to do with proving it. Well, you prove to me. Because there's so much of that. Prove to me. Prove to me there's a God. Well, I'll tell you what, let's just start out with what we believe as Christians. That Jesus rose from the dead and is the Son of God. We take that as a historical fact. You have to. Without that, you're not a Christian. You have to believe that. And we'll read some more scripture. You have to believe that. In fact, let's just read a little bit more. I want you to see some things, and then we'll go a little bit further. Let's go over to Hebrews. Now, before we go to Hebrews, go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 6. It says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We're here in the body, that means we're absent. Now, he's with us in spirit, but it means we're not where he is, our home, heaven. We're citizens of heaven, but we're residents here right now. But we will see him. We will be home. I don't know about you. That's going to be glorious. Amen. To be home. Amen. I know I talk about it from time to time, but that's so real. Just like I'm looking at you guys right now, there is going to be a time we're going to step into glory and see Jesus. Just like you imagine, if we're around and we rapture, we go up, that's going to happen. All of a sudden, we're going through the air. It's going to happen. It's real. It's just as real as this chair is, as far as we're going to see it, we're going to experience it, and we're going to be in heaven. Looking around, we're going to be like, wow, here it is. I've heard about it. Here it is. We believe it now, but we're going to see it. The streets of gold. The throne of Almighty God. We're going to see it. We're not of this realm. You're looking at flesh and blood, dust. But there's a real realm. How do we know that? Because we believe. You can't prove it. Say, well, take me to it. People would say that. Well, where is it? The Bible says it exists. So we believe it. Though we don't see it, we believe it. And we're going to experience it. Can you imagine what that's going to be so glorious? There's a person that, there it is. Yeah. You believe this is happening? We're here. Don't ever feel sorry for somebody that's gone on to be with the Lord. I know we have emotions. I'm not belittling that. But Every account I've heard and you see in the Bible, there are no tears. People would not come back if they could. They wouldn't. They wouldn't come back if they could. They want to be in the presence of Almighty God like that. Don't feel sorry. But we're going to be there. Hallelujah. So right now, we're absent from that, and we're here in the body. But we're going to be there, and we can experience victory while we're here. And knowing that all the while, we're getting closer. I know I'm one day closer today than I was yesterday. I don't know when it's happening. I don't know if Jesus is coming in before my life is over. But one thing I do know, I'm one day closer than I was yesterday. For sure. Hallelujah. He said, we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, believing. Simultaneous. Those are the same terms. To believe is to have faith. To have faith is to believe. For we walk by faith or our belief, not by sight, not by what we see. Don't walk by what we see. I said we don't walk by what we see. That's where miracles happen. Because we don't walk by what we see. Didn't Jesus say, don't be doubting. Don't be unbelieving, but believing. He said, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He's saying, we're well pleased to be there with Jesus. Glory to God. That's going to be so incredible. So awesome. Thank God. Let's go over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for or expected, the evidence of things not seen. Faith's the evidence of things we don't see. Look at that on your scripture sheet. Look at it in the NIV. Verse 1, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. Or that hope doesn't mean wish, it means expect. So what you're expecting? Do we expect to see Jesus face to face? Faith is the substance. Faith is the confidence. Why do we expect? Because we believe. Because we believe what the Word says, so we expect to see Him one day. We expect to see Him face to face. That means to, why are you expecting something? Because I believe. Why are you expecting a certain result in your life? Because I believe. Therefore, I expect this to happen. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It's assurance about what we do not see. Faith is the assurance, the title deed, another translation says, of what we don't see. I'm going to say it again. I repeat things not because I think you're slow. We want it to register on our hearts, not our head. Sometimes your head is just like, eh. But it registers on your heart. That's what we need. Faith is the assurance of what we do not see. What is? Faith. I don't see something. How do I know it's real? Faith. Now notice the next couple verses. Verse 2, by faith, elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand. Now notice this. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. How? By faith. How do you understand that God made the worlds? Because you got it all figured out, right? You can prove it, right? No, by faith. That's how we understand. Did you get that? By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen, the things that are seen, this natural world, in other words, were not made of things which are visible. In other words, there's a realm that we can't see with our physical eyes that exists, and this world was made from it. How do you know that? By faith. Do you realize you can know things by faith that people can't prove? I mean, we can't prove that Jesus rose from the dead, but we believe that he did. You can't see that. You can't prove it, but you believe it. See, we believe that which makes us a Christian. So why do we have a problem? I mean, think about this. The very foundation of our faith, and we'll read a couple scriptures. To be a Christian, you have to believe and confess that he rose from the dead. That's the critical thing. You have to believe that. That's why Easter, you know, we call it Easter, the resurrection of Christ is so big, because you can't be a Christian without it, without believing that. Well, tell me, is it scientifically possible for somebody that's been in a tomb for several days, been crucified, so it's not like they just mistook him for being dead because they couldn't find a pulse? You know, he was in the back room on the table and they couldn't find a pulse, and so they put a sheet over him and, oh, wait, he's not dead, he's alive. We just made a mistake. They crucified him. They broke his legs, or they didn't break his legs, they broke the legs of the people next to him to make sure they were dead when they came to him. Said, he's dead. Not going to break his legs. He's crucified. Excruciating. He's gone. Messed up from all that. So there was no chance that he's coming back a couple days later. But he's out of there. He's risen. Okay, prove that to me. Just look at that. To be a Christian, you have to know that. So how is it so hard to believe in miracles of any type? Our very foundation, if you believe that, that doesn't have any basis for anything. Nobody, to believe that, you have to believe in the supernatural, period. Right? To believe that a man, God as man, was crucified, beat to a pulp. I mean, you've seen the movies. Probably doesn't even do it justice what happened to him. And yet he rose from the dead and appeared to people. That's a foundation of our faith. If we believe that, then what's the problem believing anything else that the Word of God has to say? Why do we have to? Well, I don't know if that agrees with so-and-so. That's not what man understands. Who cares? Man would throw this out. If he's going to throw this out, why do we put credence? Well, I just don't know if I can believe that, because that contradicts this. This contradicts everything man understands right from the get-go. Throw it out. We're nuts, right? We believe that? I mean, think about what we believe. That a man, a carpenter, grew up, came to be aware that he was the Son of Almighty God, sent to save the world. How does that compute? How does one man, though he be the Son of God, his sacrifice equal the whole world's sin? I don't know, because the Bible says it. But explain to me exactly how. I can't. And then that man went willingly to the cross, died a horrible death, was buried, and then rose from the dead. and appeared to many people. Hallelujah. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father now. Go prove that. That's what we believe as Christians. Right? Okay. How does that make any normal sense? Go prove exactly how that was the case. You can't. I said you can't. You have to take it by faith. The only way to become a Christian is to believe what I just got done saying. Hold your finger there in Hebrews. Go over to Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what it says. It tells us here, how do I become a Christian? What is the criteria? That if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, I say Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart. See, it doesn't do anything good to confess with our mouth. We can get people to say all kinds of words. If they don't believe in their heart, it's not going to do any good. On the other hand, you can believe, but you need to say it. You need to confess it. You need to say what the Word of God says, that if we say Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart, that what? That God has raised him from the dead. Then we'll be saved. That's how to become a Christian. This is criteria. We have to believe that God raised him from the dead. That's why this is so critical. That's why we celebrate it. Because if he didn't rise from the dead, then he's in the grave like every other man. He didn't do what he said he would do. He's not alive today. And we're completely fools for believing it and giving our lives to go after it. But if he is who he says he is, and he rose from the dead, then believing it, we are giving our lives and believing after the most important thing we could ever believe in. Because he is the Almighty, the creator of the universe. And he did come as a man. And he did give his life. And he did rise again. And that, if we believe that, we're Christians. That's the foundation. That's a miracle. That's the working of Almighty God in this realm. That defies natural laws. Yes. That's the power of God. Yes. So don't you know the power of God is still resonant to do anything else we need in this natural realm? Yes. So why is it so hard? So see, if you don't believe, if somebody doesn't believe, then it's all foolishness. They say, well, that couldn't have happened naturally. The miracles in the Old Testament, the miracles in the New Testament. Well, that can't happen. You know, the Red Sea couldn't have been parted, or they make up some nonsense about all of them drowning in 1 foot of water or whatever. See, it's just like we have to find a natural reason for this to happen. It can't be what it says. Well, Jesus rose from the dead, and if we go by the same reasoning, no one can become a Christian unless they believe that. And so people that if they've believed, and they say, I'm a Christian, but I just don't believe these things in the Word of God. They have a problem. They're deceived somehow. It's like we have to line everything up with man's understanding. Man's understanding has a long way to go. And especially with historic things. Well, you know, the flood just couldn't have happened. You know, the Red Sea just couldn't have happened that way. And so let me, I just want to know one thing. What's your take on the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Go back to that. What do you say about that? Well, we believe that. Then what does it matter about anything else? I mean, if you either believe or you don't believe. Because you can't make that happen and you can't line that up by man's reasoning. It doesn't happen. When's the last time you saw somebody walk out of the tomb? When we bury them, they usually stay buried. Stone isn't rolled away and they come out. It just doesn't happen every day. So that would be against natural reasoning. Yet the Word of God says it's truth. Hallelujah. So if we can believe that, see, I know this is like the base, right? But we got to get back. If we look and we say, I believe that, but I just can't deal with this other thing. What are we really saying? Do we really believe it? Yeah, I'd say we do. What's the problem? Because in our heart, we've established that we believe that whether we see Jesus or not. When we deal with circumstances in our life, we're dealing with our natural senses, and our senses are telling us something contradictory to the Word of God. And then it's what's going to win. Your heart believes, but your head's having a problem. And what so many times what we do is we let our head win. We say, we feel like, well, I can't really believe it. I just don't really, I'm having trouble with my head, so I must not believe inside. That's not true. That's not true. We can believe on the inside, and we just have to shut our mind off and say, no, I believe what the Word says. Yeah, but this. Yeah, but that. No, I believe what the Word says. Go back over to Hebrews real quick. It says, now what? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance or the evidence of things hoped for. See, faith is the evidence. Faith is the substance. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for. What's hoped for? Expected. I'm expecting something to happen in my life. So why do I expect it? Because I'm believing. Faith is the confidence, not my understanding. So many times we've switched over and said, well, I don't know, I can't understand. So now we make that our confidence for what we're expecting. And if I can't understand it, I don't understand it, then it's not going to happen. So we've switched from faith being the confidence. Hallelujah. Jesus is risen. If we can believe that, and to be a Christian, we do believe that, then we can believe anything in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Believing Him. Believing. Believing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Praise God. Oh, we thank you. With every eye closed, every head bowed. Let's just take a moment. We just got done going over the foundation of our faith. Every eye closed. Is there anyone that you can't say without a shadow of a doubt that you've believed, as we just read in Romans 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You can't, without a shadow of a doubt. You may have been in church, you may have been around these things, and you say, oh yeah, you assume, but that He rose from the dead, and that you've done that, you've confessed it, and you've said, yes, I believe that in my heart, so I'm a Christian. If you can't say without a shadow of a doubt that I'm a Christian, and you want to be sure, completely sure, raise your hand, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Well, we're all family then. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.